Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first CDL Call of Duty League podcast for 2022. We did this last year, obviously. I was very happy with it. And yeah, we're bringing it back this year. I am joined, as always, by my guest slash co-host, CDL Metrics. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm excited for this year. Obviously, we have a new game, Call of Duty Vanguard. May not, from the initial looks of it, be as good of a season as Black Ops Cold War, but nonetheless, it's still competitive COD. It's still very exciting. So we'll see how things shake out with the first kickoff weekend coming up in just a couple of days.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, it does look like it has some problems, obviously, and actually, CDL Metrics pointed this out to me as we were talking before. There's actually only four maps for Hardpoint, four maps for Search and Destroy, and two maps for Control, which is different than last year, which was 5-5-3. Many maps have huge problems. People complain a lot about Bocage. Again, only two Control maps, so that means that the team that makes the vetoes gets to pick which Control map we're playing on just straight up. Control also broken in terms of spawns. Hardpoint, again, squad spawns. Lots of different issues in the game. Hopefully those get resolved relatively soon. Again, that is more on the development side. Also, again, before this year, there's been a lot of issues with the Call of Duty League that is separate than the game, because there is two issues you have to deal with. One, you have to deal with the game itself is an issue with the developer, and that's because Sledgehammer is making this game probably on a relatively short notice, but hopefully next year when we go to Modern Warfare 2, Infinity Ward has had 3 years to develop the game, so hopefully a lot of those problems will be fixed. So that's one end of it. The other issue with it has been with the CDL. Again, people were okay with the format last year, but wanted improvements. A lot of people, correctly and justifiably in my opinion, believe we took a step back. And people were upset about that, specifically the owners. Hector and Nate Shot on Twitter, they expressed concerns about that. I mean, we got some changes on that. Originally, this was only supposed to be 8 teams in each major. Now it's back to all 12 teams in each major. A lot of changes on that. We're starting to get community videos that were not particularly informative. But to be honest, we would talk a little bit more about that. But ultimately, all that changed yesterday, when it was announced that Microsoft is going to purchase Activision Blizzard, which includes Call of Duty and the Call of Duty League. So we have no idea what's going to happen. Come this time next year, all the people who are making decisions right now about this league could be gone. So honestly, this year is going to be weird. We're going to have a game that is being fixed on the fly with new maps added that are, like last year, there was questions about whether or not those maps were going to be the competitive maps. We kept adding maps as it went along. I think we literally added a map for the fourth major in Apocalypse. I would be very surprised if new maps are not immediately, the second maps come out as DLC, if they're not immediately added. But yeah, it's going to be a weird year, a bit of an aberration of a year. But next year is going to be interesting as well. So yeah, so this is an interesting year. Now, again, so this week, we're starting on Friday, we are going to have the Kickoff Classic, which is actually relatively new. There's always been a kickoff event, but this is the first time ever we're getting it in a tournament form. The first year, it was a bunch of random matches that played against each other. Then last year, it was a bunch of fan-selected matches that played against each other. This year, we actually get an official tournament with seeding as determined by last year, which is really stupid, but whatever. We get a tournament, so cool. Everybody's happy about that. So we're going to kind of go through each match, and we're going to talk about the off-season moves each team has made, and we're going to talk about the match itself. So we're going to kind of do two parts. Now, obviously, people who have followed this podcast, they know that me personally, through Lean Tossup and CDL Metrics, we both have our own Call of Duty models for betting. That being said, though, our usual models are not particularly effective when you have brand new teams, right? A lot of these teams are completely brand new. So we won't be able to roll those out this week. However, though, and I have not built anything, so I am kind of going off of feel at this point, which is never great when you're a better, but a lot of people do that. That being said, though, CDL Metrics has actually built his own model. He actually put it out on Twitter at this point, a couple hours ago, we're recording this on Wednesday afternoon. So go ahead and explain how your model works. And you have your rankings here. You have them by mode and stuff like that. Go ahead and explain how it works.
Yeah, so to me, it made the most sense to try to match this year's rosters and try to comp them to another team from last year. So I can kind of go like individually team by team. I won't go through every team, but like let's go with the easy teams at first. So Atlanta FaZe, Toronto Ultra, and Minnesota Rocker are the three teams that did not make any roster moves going in from last year to this year. So we like common sense makes you think, okay, those teams should probably perform about the same in each game mode, hardpoint, search and destroy, and control. So their comps for each of those modes is themselves. Atlanta should play like Atlanta from last year. Toronto should play like Toronto from last year. And Minnesota should play like Minnesota from last year. Now, obviously, it's a brand new game. There's a lot of new mechanics. That might not be the case. Minnesota, kind of a middle-of-the-pack team last year. They might be better. They might be worse. They might be basically where they are in the middle of the pack. Atlanta FaZe and Toronto were the number one and number two teams last year. That doesn't necessarily mean they'll be number one and two this year, but it makes sense to try to match them to what we just saw. And what we just saw was they were the number one and number two teams. Now, for every other team where there were roster moves, I basically tried to comp them to a team last year for each game mode. So, you know, it's very complicated. I can't really get into the weeds of how I did that. But that's what we did. It spit out numbers for every team. So, for instance, I have Optic Texas. That's a new team that a lot of people are hyped for. A lot of their comps come from Chicago from last year, which was half of their team. And I think they were comp for Dallas in Search and Destroy or Control. I can't quite remember off the top of my head. But you mash those together and you get what I had as the third best team going into the year. So that's kind of how I went about it. It was trickier with teams with rookies because obviously we didn't see them in the CDL last year. So for those players, I kind of comp them to a replacement level player from last year. So that's why I might be more down on those teams with brand new rosters and rookies and whatnot. But I basically took my combined model that with those team and player comps and averaged it out with the CDL coaches preseason poll. Just because those guys obviously see these teams in scrims quite a bit. They have a good feel for who's doing well in scrims and who's not. Whereas my model takes no scrim info like into account whatsoever. And in the coaches poll, like Boston's pretty high, Seattle's pretty high. Those are two teams that my model obviously didn't really like because there's a lot of rookies. Half of the players on each of those teams are rookies. So that kind of balanced it out to where like Boston's 8, Seattle's 9. You know, in my personal rankings, those teams are a little lower. The coaches poll has them a little higher. So it's a mishmash of a lot of stuff. Obviously, it's not perfect, but I figured it was a good start, at least for the first tournament. Maybe we'll go through the first stage with that sort of model. And then as we get more data from more matches, we'll incorporate that and kind of, you know, fade away our preseason priors. So, yeah, hopefully that didn't confuse too many people. But that's, again, just what we're going on for at least the first month, maybe month and a half for this season.
Yeah, and it's probably the best you could do. I had at one point considered making a model completely off of scrim results. CDL Scrimtail, shout out to them. They tweeted a lot of the scrim results as they happen. But the problem with that is that basically the last week, only Boston has been playing teams and on scrims publicly, and those have been released. Like, everyone else has been scrimming, obviously, but those are not publicly released. So the problem is if you only have one team to compare everybody to, then their rank is going to be completely dependent by how much they beat Boston or how much Boston beat them, which is not great. You obviously want more data on other sides about that. Also, you only have hardpoint. A couple of controls were played. but like you're looking at like two controls a scrim, again, not particularly great. It is not the greatest. So like there is no one true way to do this. But that being said, yeah, I really do like what CDL Metrics has built, and I think it's not bad at all. I think it's a really smart way to do it, and it's probably the best. In my opinion, it's actually the best way we can have this for right now, at least with the absence of any other data. But yeah, it's probably the best you can do. So let's start talking about the teams and matchups here. So the kickoff classic here starts on Friday. We have the first matchup is Florida Mutineers versus LAG. This match actually opened with LAG as a favorite. Then it became Florida as the favorite. I believe the line flipped due to COVID news about Hook. COVID news about Aseem, I believe, because there was vague concerns about that. It didn't move a lot. It flipped. It was like -188, and then I think it flipped completely. So not a huge move either way. But it's flipped, and now it's just dead even. So right now it's -120 on each side. Florida -1.5, +175. LAG +1.5, -250. Over 4.5, +162. Under 4.5, -225. Let's start off with the team that kind of made the least amount of changes. Florida here. They made a couple of changes. They got rid of Havoc and Neptune. Obviously went to the subliners, so they picked up a couple of challengers players. They could be pretty good. They could be bad. Again, it's really going to be dependent on who they picked up. I'm kind of a little, at least at this point, I'm a little low on Florida. I'm not the highest on Florida. I don't know. What do you think about them? What do you think about their changes? Do you think this is a better team to be positioned around Awakening, or do you think that this team might be one of the first to make a team change?
Yeah, they were a really tricky team for me to kind of break down. Not only do they have two new players on the team, right? Their anchors are there. Awakening, Skies, they're still there. They bring on Vivid, who was a decent player for LAG and for Dallas last year. He obviously helped Dallas get all the way to the Stage 4 Major. They came up just short against FaZe in that one. But, yeah, they get Vivid. They get Dave Patty, who I think is going to run a flex role for them. I'm pretty sure Awakening is going to be running a sub most of the year. So not only is there roster shuffle, there's also positional shuffle. Now Awakening might flex, he might pull out an AR still, but from what I've heard, it sounds like he's running an MP40 most of the time, so it's hard to take his stats from last year and kind of just translate them into this year, since he was running an AR almost exclusively last year. So his role is quite a bit different. I'm sure he'll thrive on an SMG. I think he probably wants to be on an SMG. If we remember when he came on in Modern Warfare, he could do both. He ran an MP5 and an M4 pretty easily. That Florida team was red hot when he came onto the team 2 years ago. So I think they'll be okay. I'm actually surprised. A lot of the coaches' polls have Florida very low. And because of that, that did weigh them down in my power rankings down to number 10. I have them personally a little higher, number 8, number 9 maybe. So they're still a below average team overall. Obviously, you're introducing a rookie. That's questionable. He might be very good. He might not be. We'll see where that ends up. Skies is obviously a good AR. Awakening's a good player overall, no matter the gun. And Vivid has maps where he can pop off, but he has maps where he can go double negative. So they still seem like a team that's very volatile. We talked about that a lot last year. There's a lot of volatility. When it comes to the Mutineers, they can go in and upset anyone. They can flounder and lose to an opponent they should beat. So we'll see. As far as the spread on this game, it's about right. I have LAG as the slight favorites, winning this 51% of the time. They're obviously a team that is completely new. We have Aseem coming over from the subliners. Hook, who was very, very good at the start of last season with Dallas. He was like, I want to say the MVP of Stage 1. He was amazing at the start of last season. Then he had some So just some weirdness happened kind of in the middle of the year with COVID and just a lot of stuff. He was traded to the LA Thieves. A lot of people liked that. That didn't really work out either. So his season kind of came to an end in a weird sort of light. Gunless comes over from Seattle Surge. He should be the flex for them. He had a solid year last year. Seattle as a whole wasn't good, but he was okay. And Slasher comes over from LA Thieves as well. Again, a solid AR. It's just a very solidly built team, much better than the LAG team of last year or the year before. So they are like Florida, somewhere in the middle of the pack, I think. That's why they're slight favorites in my model. Again, 51% of the time they win. So I'm not really seeing a whole lot of value either team money line or against the spread. Map total, like maybe you make a case that it goes to a map five. I don't really know. I'm just more curious to see this match, see how these new teams look against each other. But I do think it makes more sense that LAG should be a favorite just because they're an experienced team. They have some experience playing together in the past. So, and I just like their overall construction, I think, a little bit more.
Yeah, I'll go with that. I mean, honestly, LAG is like, they're built, it's definitely a better built team than last year. I have some concerns about Slasher versus Gunless being the main AR. I'm not sure who is going to be the main AR. Probably Slasher is going to be the main AR, and Gunless will be the kind of switch, I guess, if one who kind of goes with the flex, I guess. I mean, it's, this team is definitely better than last year, 100%. But, and the question, to me, this really comes down to is who's going to have a good year or not. And is, like, all these teams, all these players have, like, pretty high variance kind of clocked into them, right? They can either all be, all of them have either been really good at some time or all have been really bad at some time, right? Like, there might be, like, a map where, like, you might have an S&D where, like, all these guys combine for, like, 6 kills or something. And, like, but at the same time, you could have, and like, a, they could blow out someone, like, 250 to 40 on a hard point, right? Like, there's going to be insane, there could be, like, and again, the question is, are all these guys going to be able to hit the same high level at the same time? I don't know yet. I think that their team is currently constructed is better than Florida. I think they are a better team. I don't hate the money line. It's a sweat. It's a little bit of a sweat, though. I think they're just a better team than Florida. I think they're. But the thing is, like, they were basically the worst team last year, if not the worst. But the thing is, the rest of the CDL is so strong that, like, at this point, even just a team that's just massively better than the team last year, you're still just a middle of the pack team for both of these teams, right? So, I don't know. It's going to be a hard call for me. One interesting angle you could take on this game is because the money line is split, what you could do is because the spread is Florida minus 1.5 plus 175, the LAG spread, if you go to the match markets, again, all these are from Bet365, if you go LAG minus 175, it's also plus 175. So theoretically, you could bet both minus 1.5s. And then if it ends in less than a 4 game, then you're gonna make the 0.7, you're gonna make the 0.75 off of it, right? So that's not horrible. It's probably better to play this one safe because we just don't know who is going to, which one of these teams is gonna be better. I don't think this is gonna take. I think someone beats this. I think one of these teams is better than the other. I'm fairly confident one of these teams is better than the other team. I don't think this is gonna go to 5 games, but. I don't know. We'll have to see. This is a very interesting matchup, and it's going to be, like, if Florida loses this game, they could be in for a really bad first stage, I think. If LAG loses, then that could be even worse, potentially. But, like, I mean, they'd probably be okay. Like, it, I don't know. I think LAG is a better team, so we'll see if we go from there, but... Anyway, the next matchup, now this is two teams that have also undergone a lot of changes. Seattle Surge versus London Royal Ravens. Surge is minus 275, Ravens are plus 200. I've seen it at better prices on other books. I think I've seen Surge Ravens up to plus 220. Surge minus 1.5, minus 120. Ravens plus 1.5, minus 120. Over 4.5, plus 175. Under 4.5, minus 250. let's start talking about Surge, because a lot of people are saying the Surge team is really good. They did have a scrim with Boston. We'll talk about Boston later. But they seem to be doing pretty good during that. Again, they've got two Challengers players, Sib and Pred, who are actually pretty good. They've got Mac and Accuracy. Again, Mac coming from the Subliners and Accuracy coming from the Minnesota Rocker. Accuracy, of course, was kind of involved in that kind of head-to-head battle versus him versus Major Maniac for who was going to be main AR. Accuracy eventually lost it towards the end of the year, and Major Maniac took over, and obviously they won Major 5. Mac was the flex for Subliners. He was very good throughout. He had moments when he would be like amazing. He'd go like plus 20, like he'd go like 20 kills, plus 20 kills in like a hardpoint or something. Then he'd have moments when he was worse. And then you got two Challengers. I don't hate this team. I actually kind of like this team. It could be pretty fun. Have issues with Accuracy, though. I don't think he's the best main AR. I think there are better main ARs. But, like, I don't hate this team. And looking at the Ravens right there, an all-EU team, Afro is the same as last year. Zero, the player they tried to get last year, he's finally on this team now. And they've got Nasty and Gizmo. This team actually put up quite a bit of a fight against Boston in their scrims. Again, those don't necessarily mean anything, but it means that they're probably roughly equivalent to it. I don't know. Do you think the Ravens can pull off this upset, or are they just too inexperienced? Because there is a lot of kind of rookies on that team. What do you think?
Yeah, this is my favorite game, like, of any bet to make. I think London Moneyline is one you could talk me into. Yeah, I'm seeing plus 200 on them right now to cover a map and a half at minus 115. Yeah, London, honestly, these teams are built very similarly, and I'll explain it this way. So you have two veterans who have been in the league for years, Accuracy on one side, Zero on the other side. You have two players who are relatively new to the scene, who have come on and been impressive, Mac on one side, Afro on the other side. I think people don't realize how good Afro had, how good of a season he had last year in Cold War, because the Ravens were such a bad team. They obviously, like, flip-flopped a lot of roster positions throughout the year with Alex and Shawnee and just all that stuff going on. Paul X came on. It was a lot of chaos. But Afro was just consistently good during the time he played. And then you have two rookies on the Royal Ravens side. You have Gizmo and Nasty, who in the EU Challenger scene last year were phenomenal. And then on Seattle side, you have Sib. He's been a substitute for Atlanta last couple years, been very good in Challengers in North America. And then Pred, maybe the best Challengers player in Australia, in the APAC region for the last couple years. He finally gets a shot as well. So the teams are pretty similarly constructed. The one thing I will say, I do have Seattle as, again, a very, very slight favorite. 52% of the time I have them winning. The one thing I'll say is Accuracy, although he had a bad season last year, and honestly, Mac maybe underwhelmed a little bit. Both of these players had very good seasons, if not great seasons, in Modern Warfare 2 years ago. And Vanguard is, in my opinion, played more like Modern Warfare than like Cold War. If Mac looks anything like he did in Modern Warfare, and in Modern Warfare he was a flex player, he would pull out the MP5 and shred with that. He'd pull out an M4 when he needed to. That went well. Like, he was just amazing when he came onto the scene. Accuracy, he played alongside within New York that season, and Accuracy was pretty solid. Him, Mac, and Attach, really, were the three that anchored that team throughout the year. They started out slow, obviously made the roster move to get Mac, and were pretty good down the stretch of that season. So I think we might see improvements from both of those players, and if these rookies are anything like they're chalked up to be, I do think Seattle could be a top six team this year. I can't buy that quite yet, though. Like, you can't really convince me that Seattle Surge should be a minus 275 favorite over a London team that has a lot of potential as well. Zero, obviously, we didn't see him play last year. He had visa issues. He was kind of just stuck in the UK, I think, and played in Challengers most of the year, if not the whole year. We did see him in Modern Warfare, played for the Ravens. He was solid. He could flex, do anything. I think he was a little bit overshadowed by Wuskins and Scraps, the twins that year. They kind of took over the team. And I think people forget that that Ravens team finished fourth at champs that year. They went on a very nice run. So yeah, Zero's been around. He's seen it all. Again, Afro, a very capable player who showed up last year in his first pro experience, running an SMG, no less. And then again, two really good Challengers players that I think can go head-to-head with the Surge Challengers players that they picked up. So to me, this is just, you know, it's too big of a number not to take the Ravens. I do think Surge are the favorites, slightly, but the value is on London, no doubt in my mind. This is an easy pick.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that, right? Like, you can obviously say, like, Surge is better, and no one is disagreeing that Surge is better this year than last year, right? But at the same time, there's a different, like, you're asking me to take a team that was horrible last year. Now, again, it's completely different, obviously, but you're looking at Mac, who was not the best player on the subliners, Accuracy, who was benched, and then two Challenger players, which, again, they could be really good, but you're now asking me to lay 275 on that money line. That is a steep price to pay. You're asking a Ravens team, which is completely unknown, right? Because you're looking at a ton of, you're looking at, again, you're getting a lot more better analysis from EU players, like from North American Challengers players. Like, we know much more about SIB than we do about some of those EU Challengers ones, right? So you're looking at two kind of relative unknowns in Nasty and Gizmo. They could actually be pretty good. I don't think the market is able to completely price those in. So, like, yeah, I'm actually looking at Ravens money line as one of my favorites. I'd expect that to go up. So I'm going to probably bet that a little late. But, like, money line spread. Again, here's the thing. If we're wrong, right, we're wrong. And then we immediately bet Seattle spread against. Who are they playing? Who do they play next? I have that here.
They would play FaZe.
They would play FaZe. Ooh. Maybe. We'll see. Maybe we bet them against. But like that, then you could turn around and we could be wrong and then we could bet them against FaZe or whatever, right? So like, if they surprise, if Surge is like dominant and they 3-0 London, then like, okay, this Surge is for real. But you're asking me to lay minus 275 with Accuracy? That's a little hard to do. So they could be a very good team, but yeah, I think there is value in the Ravens here. Next up, Subliners versus Boston. Again, new. In some places, it's Boston CDL franchise. Bethesda just is Boston. Subliners minus 188. Boston plus 137 on the money line. Subliners minus 1.5 plus 137. Boston plus 1.5 minus 188. Over 4.5 plus 162. Under 4.5 minus 225. Subliners have actually undergone a lot of changes this year. Basically, Mac and Asim are gone. Clayster and Hydra remained, but basically they were able to pick up Crim Six from the fallout of the Dallas of Optic, the Optic Dallas merch. They picked up Crim Six from that, and they also got Neptune from Florida, who was actually one of the better Mutineer players last year. So the Subliners team is kind of interesting. I kind of do like the mix of seasoned veterans and young guns. Particularly Clayster or Crim on an AR, and then you stick in Hydra and Neptune there on an SMG. I kind of like that, honestly. It's not bad at all. Like, that's a kind of perfect mix of young and old. I really do kind of like that. So I'm kind of a little high on this team. I think this team can actually, like, it's either going to be really good or really bad, but I think it's much more likely to be, like, really good, and they're, like, the third, like, they're the top four. Boston, on the other hand, again, this is a team that underwent a couple of changes. It was supposed to be the Washington, I'm not sure what they were supposed to, it was, like, Washington something, but then that got, basically, the Washington was supposed to buy the extra CDL spot. That fell through. So then, basically, Robert Kraft, owner of the New England Patriots, he decided to buy the CDL spot instead, and they became the Boston Breach, which, again, awesome name. Pretty cool logo. I'm actually, that's a really cool turnaround for that. The Boston Breach team here is Methods, TJ, Nero, and Capsidal. Happy Methods got back on a team. again, Ultra was my team last year, again, from the GTA, Greater Toronto Area, but Happy Meth has got back on a team, so I will be rooting for this team just for that reason. TJ, I don't think, he's obviously friends with Meth, so he got on this team, but I don't think he should be on this team. Nero and Capsidal, again, they're Challengers players, so again, you're looking at pretty young, which again, you're looking at kind of a similar mix between Methods and TJ versus Clayster and Crimsix. And then Nero and Capsidal, I think I'd take Hydra and I take Hydra and Neptune over Nero and Capsidal, though, and I definitely take, well, if you say Clayster is Methods, then I'd take Crimsix over TJ. So it's a bit interesting, and we'll have to see from there. I think the Subliners are the better team here, and I'm eyeing the money line, and I'm eyeing the -1.5 at the +137 here. I think Boston is a good team. I think they'll surprise. Like they will have some good games this year, and they're probably gonna have some upsets. Like I could see them upsetting. Like watch out when this team plays Toronto. I don't think they're gonna play Toronto. They're not on the same side of the bracket unless something crazy happens. Actually, yeah, the only time they play would be the finals, so I doubt they're going to play each other, but, like, bet on this Boston team the first time they play Toronto. But, yeah, no, I kind of like this. I like both these teams, but I think this time I'm going to take the Subliners. What do you think?
Yeah, price-wise, I think they're priced about where I have them. I have Subliners winning this match 65% of the time, so about 2 in 3 odds. And I do think this Boston price is a little inflated just because what we've seen on Scrim Intel is just Boston scores the last, like, 2 weeks, and they've been pretty impressive scores. Now, a lot of that is hard point, and a little bit of that is control. We don't see them in search, and they might be a good search team. If that's the case, then Boston is very dangerous. But, again, we're just working off of scrims. Obviously, they've been like one of the more popular teams the last couple weeks, just with their announcement, the return of Methods, who is a fan favorite, like two new rookies, like that's exciting too. So Boston has kind of been the talk of the town as of late. But yeah, like I kind of feel like Subliners are getting overlooked here. The -1.5 entices me a little bit. I see it at +140. I think that's a fair price. The one thing I worry about with New York, I think they're trying to mimic the Dallas Empire team from 2 years ago, and that worked. But it worked in a 5v5 setting, and I'm not sure how well that'll translate in a 4v4. Now, again, the game plays out similarly. Modern Warfare to Vanguard are run on the same engine. A lot of gameplay mechanics are similar. I just think that Dallas Empire team was so successful because Clay and Krim could both kind of coach from the back line, tell their subs where to go. Obviously, they had a very good trio in front of them. That was Shotzi, Illy, and Hook. And it just worked, man. Like, with 5v5, like, a lot of times you'd find Clayster just setting up in the next hill, whatever it was, shot calling. And it worked in a 5v5. He took himself out of the chaos and could kind of see the map a little better than the other team could, and it worked for the whole year, essentially. In a 4v4, you're going to have Krim run an SMG on some maps, which worries me a little bit, but I think that counteracts itself with the other duo of SMGs. Hydra was phenomenal as a rookie last year. He had the number one hardpoint KD at a 117. Number four SMG search KD at a 1.11. I do worry about this team in control a little bit. For all four players, it was their worst mode by far. But that's only one of the five game or maps we're going to play is control. And even now, control's a little busted. New York was fine as a control team last year. Very good on attack, very bad on defense. Not sure how that shakes out with this year's game, but yeah, I just like the team construction. I think they'll make it work. Their SMG duo, at least at the top line with Hydra and Neptune, is really, really good. My only question again, yeah, is if Krim has to pull out that third SMG, how good does that go? I think it's fine. He's a solid, solid player. Clay is obviously very good as an AR. But yeah, Boston, I don't know. They're up and coming. They're exciting. I just think you're getting a little bit of a price inflation both on the money line and against the spread with that team. So I'll take New York slightly, but I think the prices are about correct.
I kind of said more on this Boston team. What do you think about this Boston team kind of season long? Like, do you think is this like a high ceiling team? Is this a top six team? Will this team have to go under some changes? Will TJ go out? Like, what do you think you're looking at in terms of that? Like, where are you on this Boston team kind of globally on the season?
Yeah, well, I mean, based on what we've seen from Methods and TJ the last 2 years of CDL action, they've been solid. Like, even though Methods was benched last year and it worked out phenomenally for Toronto, like, they still were a decent team when he was in the lineup. I want to say he had the only 1v4 last year.
Yep, he did against Paris. It was Paris.
Okay, accuracy maybe had one kind of in that crazy lineup with the Chicago team. But yeah, Methods was solid. TJ was eh, and he was not so great the year before that either. Yeah, that OGLA team 2 years ago was just kind of a mess the whole year. So I'm happy to see that they look good on this game. And obviously, half their team is new. If Capsidal and Nero can break out and even one of them be great and the other's just solid, like, yeah, this team should be middle of the pack. If both of those guys come out hot, then, yeah, this team could really contend with the best teams throughout the year. It's hard to say what they'll look like. You know, first LAN experience for those two, I think. And yeah, it's been a while since Methods has played like a somewhat important CDL match. So yeah, I'll just take the veteranship with New York. But yeah, obviously it wouldn't shock me if Boston beat them. They've looked very good in scrims. If they can take both hard points, maybe control, again, that's a mode I think New York might struggle in, then yeah, I think they'll be okay. Season long, Boston, it's tough. I don't know if I see them as a more volatile team than anyone else. If those rookies come out and they fall flat like that, those could cycle in and out quite a bit. I do think you'll see some roster moves at some point for this team. You see roster moves for almost every team in the league every year. Like, I want to say the only team that didn't do anything all year last year was Atlanta. I could be wrong with that, but I'm pretty sure that was the case. So yeah, Boston, I imagine, will slot in some guys, slot out some other guys. But we'll see. At least now, based on what we see in scrims, this team could make some upsets in the first stage or two. So yeah, I'm just really excited to see how they play out. And also, A-plus job on the branding for everything. I think the name works. I think the logo is simple but clean. A lot of people are like, why would you pick green as your color? You know, obviously, Optic has that color on lock. It's a different enough green, everybody. Like, it's okay. There can be another team with green. But yeah, I'm just happy to see that the 12th spot was filled by somebody. It would have been really weird and awkward to have 11 teams only. So happy to see them in action. And yeah, again, A-plus job on the branding.
With 11 teams, would have forced everybody to play everybody every week. So maybe we lost out on a lot of COD games because of Robert Kraft. No, probably not. They probably would have figured something out. But no, I mean, yeah, I agree with that. The thing I love the most about the Boston Breach is that as someone who played old, like, Modern Warfare 2, Modern Warfare 3, you remember breaching, right? When, like, you'd go up against the door and you'd place the explosive. Like, that's what I think when I think Boston Breach. So, like, that's cool. I like that. And the green, we have so many, like, red teams. We have so many red teams, but we need, like for the life of me, I can't figure out why Toronto is purple and not blue. Like,
yeah, we really don't have any, like blue teams. Like, London incorporates blue a little bit, Seattle, I guess, a little bit, but no one's just, like, solid blue.
Like, why is Ultra not blue? Yeah. Like, the thing of it, it's so crazy because, like, you look at Toronto Blue Jays, Toronto Maple Leafs, like, the only Raptors, obviously, is red, but, like, usually people associate Toronto with blue. That's a relatively standard association, but for their CDL team, they're like, no, purple. We're going to go purple. And, like, there's so many other purple teams, right? Like, you've got Gorillas, Rocker. Like, you have so many other purple teams. I don't understand why we had to go purple. Like, we could have gone blue. There's no other blue team. There is, I mean, with the exception of Florida, but that's a teal. But yeah, no, like, there's no other blue team. It's not hard. It's not like there's a reason why the Ultra logo, the Ultra logo is a squirrel. I don't understand why you can't just paint it blue.
Ultra's weird. Ultra's weird like that. One other thing with the Boston branding that I liked, but I don't know if it was intentional or not. Like, the green X in their logo, like, if you squint, it kind of looks like an Irish, like, clover or something. And I know Boston itself is a very, like, Irish heritage is huge there. And I don't know if it was intentional or not, but it works with that.
Definitely,
like,
intentional.
It makes me think Ireland. It makes me think Boston. I don't mind. I like it a lot. Also, if they incorporate those masks that were in their video and, like, just give out those masks to all the fans at events and stuff, like, that would be the most intimidating fan base, like, in any sport, maybe, outside of, like, the Las Vegas Raiders, maybe. Like, imagine just, like, you know, like, thousands of people at a major who are Boston fans, and everyone's wearing those masks with the, you know, with the XI, and, like, it'd be freaky. It's like everyone's just, like, I don't know, anonymous, but they're all part of this collective. I really, really like it. So, again, props to them. I don't know if they'll win this first match. It'd be exciting if they do. They could obviously pull it off, but we shall see Friday night if that's the case.
Yeah. Branding and COVID prevention all in one. It's great.
Yes. Yes.
All right. So the last match on Friday, LA Thieves versus Paris Legion. Both these teams have undergone several changes. Thieves are prohibitive favorites here, -500 on the money line. This is like a phase level line. Paris +333, Thieves -1.5, -175, Paris +1.5, +125, over 3.5, -200, under 3.5, +150. Thieves, of course, went through a lot of changes in the off season. They got rid of John Hook, obviously, and they've put in Venom, and they've put in now they picked
and
up
Slasher.
And Slasher, yeah. Well, Slasher was on the bench, I guess, but that's true too. They now have they kept Draza, they kept Kenny, they now picked up Octane, they picked up Envoy from the last remaining piece from the Dallas Optic merge. So Octane is again, obviously. Basically, Octane is now reunited with the team that he went on that insane 2019 Black Ops 4 Champs run with. For those who aren't familiar, they lost the first round. They were one of the best teams in the league. They lost first round in the bracket play, and then they came all the way back to get to the finals. They beat Optic in the loser's bracket final, and then they went to the final, but then they immediately lost to United with Simp on it, and it was like Simp, Abizi, Clayster, and then they won the event. But they again, crazy bracket, crazy loser bracket run, almost won the thing, but then they'd lose in the final. So basically, Octane's reunited with that, and Envoy, who actually I think was on the other team, I think Envoy was on the Envoy was actually he was on a different team at that point. He actually may have been on Optic, but anyway, so that's the Thieves team. Paris, well, it's hard to find good things to say about this team. You have Temp, who was from last year, who they picked up from the Thieves last year when he got benched from the Thieves. You have John, who they picked up after he was benched from the Thieves. They have Decimate, who was a sub for the Subliners, and before he was a sub for the Subliners, I believe he was dropped from LAG. And then you've got Philo, who ended the year on Dallas, who was basically subbed in after Hook. Oh no, he was subbed in immediately after Hook, but then he was benched for Vivid. So, yeah, that's this is like the bargain bin of players. Like, Temp is cool, I like Temp, but John is a player who got like was basically put in because Hook had some sort of weird mental thing at the end of that when he wrote his name wrong on a COVID test or something. You've got Decimate, who was okay when he subbed in for the Subliners, and you've got Philo, who was so bad that they benched him almost immediately after that. This is not a fun match. That being said, though, fun little thing here. Temp, this is a revenge match against LA Thieves. John, this is a revenge match against LA Thieves. So half of this team used to play on Thieves and was dropped. So you've got a revenge match for two of these players. Plus, Simp, as covered by, what's the name of the one on Twitter? On Tactical Rab, on Tactical Rab's video, he interviewed Simp, and Simp was saying that Thieves were struggling. Octane, again, a lot of people are hyping Octane, could be a little overhyped. Octane is good, but he's not that good. Envoy is also good, though. But basically, Simp was saying that he thought this team was struggling. Can we see an upset here? This isn't prime time. This is 8:30. This is prime time. First time ever we are getting a COD match started at 8:30. Do you think we're seeing an upset here? Like, is that insane to think that this LA Thieves team could just flop in the first? It would be so funny. It would be, like, hilariously funny. But, like, and a comparison I'm going to make right now, and I think we're going to end up making this comparison a lot during this year. Is Octane going to be Matt Stafford? Because it's the same thing. It's literally the same thing. Basically, it's the same thing. Like, literally, the parallels are insane. They're, like, from a team that was horrible, traded to an LA team. Is he going to be Matt Stafford? Like, what do you think here? I'm kind of torn here. I'm really eyeing that plus 333 money line and plus 125, plus 1.5. I'm thinking about that really hard.
Yeah, I was curious to see where you stood on LA Thieves, because I think if you ask me, like, compare me to everybody else who follows the CDL, I might be the highest on Thieves. Like, I actually think, and I know what Simp said. I did watch that interview with Rab, and he said Thieves might disappoint a little bit. That's okay. We're going through scrims. They might not look the best. They did just have one against Boston that was aired live, and I think they beat them like 4-2 in maps. They split the hard points and won both controls. They looked pretty good.
That was the most recent.
That was one scrim I saw of them. That's it. The coaches poll does have Thieves a little lower. I want to say they had them at 7th. But I don't know. I think this is the roster shuffle that finally works for them. I'm honestly really excited to see this team. I think they took some of the best pieces from around the league and put them all together. I think Octane's going to be really happy for the first time since the old Thieves team. Like, I know you compared him to Matt Stafford. I kind of get that, but I think Stafford had more weapons in Detroit than Octane's had the last 2 years on Surge. Like, let's not forget that. Like, Surge did make a fun run, I think in Major 5 it was, on LAN. They upset Atlanta in Loser's Bracket. That shocked everybody. Octane went nuts. We had good games from Classic. Gunless was solid. Like, but let's not forget the other players who he's had over the years. Like, the Surge team from Modern Warfare looked promising at the start of the year and just flopped completely. Karma retired, like, halfway through the year. Enable wasn't great. Now he's a content creator for Thieves, so that kind of came full circle. But you had, like, you know, challengers players coming in and out, Pander, Proto, who were fine in challengers, but they got into the COD League and just didn't do much. And Octane was just kind of left there to do it all himself, and that's why Surge was a bottom of the barrel team 2 years ago. They also weren't great last year, but again, I think that's more of the SMGs that were in front of Octane. I think Gunless was a good help as a flex player, but, you know, you had Looney at the start of last year who underperformed. You know, you brought in Classic halfway through the year. He was okay at times, but honestly, the Thieves kept Kenny and Draza. I don't think Draza gets enough love for how good he is. Let me just pull up his stats from last year real quick. Overall adjusted KD of a 1.03, that ranked 16th. In the league for active players and 8th among SMGs. He had above a 1.0 in every game mode, a 101 in hardpoint, 104 in search, and again a 104 in control. Kenny, 17th in adjusted KD, right behind Draza, 5th among flex players. He had a 105 in hardpoint, 104 in search, and a 0.99 in control. So really his only weakness, if that, was control. So you keep those players, probably the best two they had all year. You combine it with Seattle's by far best player. Octane had a 1-1 adjusted KD, sixth in the league, second among ARs. And then you combine it with Envoy, who's been solid the last couple of years with Optic. Last year was maybe a little bit of a letdown compared to his Modern Warfare season. He was in the MVP discussion 2 years ago, not so much last year. But still, 101 adjusted KD, good in hardpoint, good in search, a little iffy in control. You put all those pieces together, and I think you have a really good team. Now, it might take a little while to gel, but like, let's not forget that Paris Legion are a team full of bench players. Like, I hate to put it that bluntly, but like, they feel like what the Baltimore Orioles have been the last couple of years. Like, a team where you combine all the players' war and you get like a zero, and it's just there's a replacement level team in the Baltimore Orioles. Like, that's kind of what Paris feels like. Like, just the scraps that got left behind, maybe. Now, could they win this match? Obviously, yes. I have them winning 18% of the time. So about a 1 in 6 chance they get it done, which if you think of real world applications, a lot of times, you know, people maybe have trouble putting 18% in their head. It's if you have a dice, right? A die, and you roll it. You need a 1, and you get a 1. There's your 18% or whatever it is. So it's very possible that they win. I'm really high on LA Thieves. And I get that they've been kind of a laughing stock the last couple of years in terms of expectations versus reality. They roster shuffle a lot. That coaching staff likes to do that. I think they got a really solid quartet with the guys they have. And I'm excited for them. I do think they'll be a top four team. I think they could compete with Toronto and Optic right away. I think that like if I'm an Optic fan and I see Thieves in round two of this tournament, I'm honestly a little nervous. Like, just imagine Optic lose that. You know, it's their major. It's in Dallas. That would be a bit of a shock to everyone. So I'm high on Thieves. I don't know if I can lay minus 500 or whatever it is. Minus a map and a half at minus, I see, 175. Maybe, but even then, it's more of a stay away for me. I think I'd wait and bet them against Optic in round two, assuming they'd be an underdog. I do think that series would be close. We don't have any spreads for that because obviously it's just a hypothetical, but that's my spiel on the LA Thieves. I'm high on them. Most people are not, and that's that.
Well, I mean, there's a couple things I wanted to say there. So, I mean, comparing Octane to Matt Stafford, it's not like Stafford has still been like really good. Like, he is definitely better than Jared Goff would have been for the Rams. And again, how many times have we seen this season when like Matt Stafford's got like 3 passing touchdowns? Like, they just won a playoff game. They just beat the Cardinals pretty handily. And honestly, for people who follow the lean toss of NFL model, we're gonna be taking the Rams this week against the Buccaneers, right? So, like, yeah, like it's not like Matt Stafford's bad. It's just the fact that it's like this was super overhyped. And then there's the game where Matt Stafford throws for like 3 touchdowns and they destroy teams. But then there's the game where they beat Baltimore by 1 because Matt Stafford threw like 2 interceptions and a pick 6, right? Like, there's those kind of games. I don't think Octane has that high of variance. I think, again, the NFL is that kind of variance in the NFL versus, say, this. I mean, Octane is, he's a good player. And like, the thing of it is, looking at this Thieves team, you're completely right. Like, 100%, nothing you've said is wrong. Like, this team should be one of, if not the best team in the league. 100% right. Draza is actually really good. I really like Draza. Kenny's good too. Octane, Envoy, an amazing pickup for them. Like, to just have Envoy fall in your lap like that, like, one of the better players in the league in Modern Warfare, which again, you've said it before too, this game's going to play a lot more closer to Modern Warfare than it did Cold War, right? And Envoy was killer in Modern Warfare, right? And then at the same time, you look at Paris, and this team is like, it's just like, what is this team? Who, like, what person was sitting, like, what analytics person was sitting here being like, yes, this is the, like yes, these pieces will work well together. Like, who's even the AR? I don't even know who the AR is. Is it John? I don't even know. Who is the AR? Is it Temp?
I think I have Fellow slated in as the AR right now. I kind of had to guess on teams I wasn't quite sure of. Yeah, so I have John and Temp as the primary SMGs, Decimate as the flex, and Fellow as the AR. That could be totally wrong.
That's very comforting. That's very comforting, by the way. Now you're like, but maybe it's this guy.
But yeah, it's like, I don't know. Like, here's one other way to think of Thieves. And I know this is all on paper, and, you know, we don't play the matches on paper, all that stuff. But LA Thieves last year, at the end of the year, their roster was Draza, John, Kenny, Slasher. That was their major team, or champs team. You take out John, who, like, kudos to him. He came in and had his moments, but overall, it flopped hard. He was not good. Slasher was solid, especially in Hardpoint. Very good. Search was fine. Control was okay. You take John out, put in Envoy. You take Slasher out, put in Octane. To me, that's two upgrades. And two players who had better years 2 years ago in a game that was, again, more similar to Vanguard, in my opinion. If Draza, like, I just like Draza's story. Like, he's just come into the league and grinded, and, like, he's just solid. And Octane, it's hard to evaluate Octane, especially the last 2 years. He's been a very good player. He's put up very good stats, but on teams that just did not win. Now, towards the end of the year, Surge did figure some stuff out. They looked good on LAN. Does that play a role? I think it might. It would shock me, obviously, if Paris took out Thieves. And even if they took him to a map 5, that would surprise me quite a bit. Again, I don't know if I can lay 500 on the money line or 175 on the minus 1.5 maps. But, man, I mean, I'll be so upset if Paris come out and win. I will be pleasantly surprised, but, like, just worried they're going to get slaughtered by Optic the next day. So,
well, yeah.
I just want to see Thieves Optic, too. Like, I think everyone wants to see that. But, yeah, it's a weird match to close out the day. I think New York-Boston would be more intriguing. I think they maybe should have flipped those around. But, nonetheless, yeah, I'm high on Thieves. Again, if you're not, you can maybe make a case to take Paris plus 1.5. I could see that. If you think, yeah, Thieves just need some time to gel together, but I think they'll be okay. I think they'll be all
right. I mean, I get that, right? And it's so weird, right? Like, I agree with you that, like, this Thieves team should have no problems with this Paris team. I will say that, so Thieves actually did play two scrims against Boston. The one you're referring to was the most recent one. They played one a couple days earlier. It was more split. It was, like, basically dead even, but Thieves then did crush them. So that could be kind of like, oh, this Thieves team is trending up. If you want to bet against this Thieves, if you want to bet on this Thieves team, maybe you could, I'd recommend, say, like, for example, here, map one, you can look at map one spread, map one Thieves minus 22.5 points, minus 120. That's not bad. Map one winner minus 200 on the hard point, Thieves minus 1.5 rounds. And then they have no idea what they're doing with control. So you can bet some spreads here on Bet365. I think a couple other ones have spreads too, but that's a potential option. It's just, I don't know. Like, you have a double revenge game for two players, but those players are not great. So, I don't know. Did Paris just decide, like, they wanted to sell this team, but then they couldn't find a buyer, so they just signed the cheapest players they could find? Is that
Maybe.
What they did?
I mean, that's how they operated last year, right? Like, what was their team going into last year? It was Scraps, Aqua,
Classic
wasn't on the team at the start.
No, it was,
yeah,
Classic and someone else. That's conspiring. Yeah. How much we know about that fourth player, but no, that was Aqua and Fire, I think.
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah. Fire flexed for him. Yeah. And then.
Yeah.
Him.
No. It's yeah. It's crazy how, like, yeah, this team has not been good. That being said, though, this team did upset Thieves later in the year. I don't know. It's a lot of money. Maybe you bet on a game on spread or something, and then you just say, okay, if Paris wins, great. But if Thieves, like, here's the thing. I'm 100% with you. Like, Thieves beat Paris. Thieves money line day two against Optic. I'm 100% with you there. Want to fade this Optic team, but could we see an upset? I don't know. Maybe, like, we could see, like, the hilarious thing will be, like, if Thieves does What? Here's what I'll do. I will promise you this. If Thieves beat Paris, I will bet a Thieves money line and LA Rams money line parlay. I'll do that. I will parlay. That would be
double
fun.
Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Okay.
That could. I'd be pretty excited about that. It'd be like Thieves versus Optic, and then Rams versus Bucks. But yeah,
LA
okay.
teams versus the goats of the sport. Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
You got
very
Scump on one side. You got Tom Brady on the other side. Yeah.
We can do that. All right. So now moving on to Saturday. Now I'm gonna have to rearrange these times because these are a bit different. So the 4 o'clock Eastern times game, which this will actually occur at the same time as an NFL game, which is actually the first time I believe ever that we've had that. We've had like a meaningful game. I think we had the kickoff classic last year. I think it intercepted with the conference championship round. But I think this year, this is the first time we're ever seeing a game going on the same time as a divisional round game, so the conference championship game. So we've got FaZe versus the winner of Seattle versus London. FaZe obviously making no roster changes. The only roster change they actually made was Sib was their sub before. Their substitute player is now Pristini. Again, maybe some nepotism there, but Pristini was fine, and again, what are you doing here, right? Like, you're FaZe, right? Like, if someone gets hurt, cool, let Pristini run around for a little bit, right? Let him play for two games in a week, right? It doesn't matter. That's fine. Yeah. So the question here, more on the thing. So, like, if Seattle looks amazing, like, we're our strategy here is to bet on Ravens. If Seattle looks amazing, I think the play is Seattle against FaZe, because then it's like the Seattle team could actually be pretty good. But then it depends on what the price is. We have no idea what the price will be. My question is more on the futures market. FaZe is +150 to win it all. Is that the, like, obviously we'll talk some more about some other futures in a second, but like, are we going to be sitting here on Sunday night when the major final is happening at 7 o'clock Eastern on Sunday? Are we going to be sitting here on Sunday night being like, damn it, we should have bet. Why didn't we bet FaZe at +150? Are we going to be saying that or not?
I kind of think we might. Yeah, it all depends on if you think FaZe are as good as they were last year. If you think they're as good, if not, maybe even a little worse, I think +150 is a bet you could make. Yeah, these future markets really come down to, like, it's FaZe versus everybody else. So here's the thing. I do have tournament odds already made for this upcoming tournament, and FaZe's odds match up pretty closely with the market odds. I have them winning this whole thing 40.6% of the time. The break even on a +150 bet is 40%, so maybe a 0.6% edge. So if you ask me, I think there's a teeny tiny little value on Atlanta. Because I think you can't tell me they're significantly worse than they were last year, and you can't convince me that there's already a team on or close to their level, which the future odds imply that there is a team, and we can get to them in a sec. I'd love to talk about the future on this whole tournament, because I've got some takes. Like, if you are of the opinion, like me, that FaZe is still in a tier of their own, now we haven't seen them in scrims a lot, right? Like, we really don't know. It seems like they don't like this game as much as Cold War, which is maybe a little telling of how they'll perform over the course of the year. But yeah, I mean, I kind of think they want to come out and prove that, hey, we were the best last year, we're a dynasty, we're going to come out and win this whole thing, and we're still the team to beat. At the same time, there is a little bit of worry that some of the top teams might not want to get too creative with what they show at this tournament. Obviously, the only thing that this is good for, there's a $30,000 cash prize for the winner. There's no CDL points or anything else at stake for this tournament. It's just a fun little preseason thing with a small cash prize. Small in quotation marks. Cash prize. So yeah, you can convince me FaZe +150 is a good bet. Again, I don't love betting on a favorite that steep, right? It's just, it feels not as fun, right, to bet on a favorite like that. But FaZe is a team. Like, they are a freaking team, man. Like, yeah. And the market implies that there is another team that is close to their level in terms of skill and how the odds they could win this tournament. I'm not sure what you see, but Optic Texas, at least at the book I'm looking at, plus 200 to win. I've seen plus 175. And if you just can't, that to me is the worst bet you could make of any game, of any future, is picking Optic to win this at plus 175 or plus 200. Might they be the second best team in the league? Yes. Heck, they could be the best team in the league. Yes, that is a true statement. But to put them this close to Atlanta before we've seen anything from them in a meaningful match, you know, scrims is one thing, but like that is way too steep a price to pay. I think there's honestly a tax just because Optic's such a big team. The markets obviously inflate the number quite a bit because of that. So that I don't love. Atlanta's okay. But the next team down, and then we can get to your thoughts on us in a sec. Toronto Ultra, I see at plus 800, plus 750 in some spots too to win the tournament. That to me is a bet that makes a lot of sense. They were the second best team last year. Clearly, we haven't seen a lot of them. Just like FaZe, they took a lot of time off over the holiday break, but until I see something that tells me otherwise, I think Atlanta is the best team. Outside of FaZe, they start on the opposite side of the bracket. They'll get the winner of LAG Florida for their first match, and then they'll probably have to play the winner of Optic or LA Thieves, assuming Thieves beat Paris in the second match. And then there's a chance they might not even have to play FaZe in the championship if FaZe gets bounced early. But again, their most likely scenarios probably LAG. Chicago or Texas. I gotta fix that. I'm gonna call them Chicago for the whole year, probably, but they're Texas now. And then FaZe. And I think at plus 800, you know, that implies like there's an 11% probability they win the tournament. My simulations say there's about a 14% chance. So again, a small edge, but an edge nonetheless. So yeah, what are your thoughts on the futures market?
Yeah, so I'm completely in agreement with you. When I first saw the futures market, I thought it was insane. There was insane value on Ultra. I grabbed it. I waited a little bit, obviously. I got the best of the number. I've got a future at plus 800, so I think that's pretty good. But like the fact that, because again, Boston did play Ultra, so and they actually cleaned up Ultra pretty well. Again, when you look at that revenge angle for methods, so. I'm not the most concerned about Ultra. I think they were basically, they kind of went dark for a bit during the Christmas break because they went to the EU. They were visiting their families and they were scrimming EU teams. So, like, that's kind of good actually. It gives you some extra experience, but we've very rarely seen any kind of scrim data from them at all. We have no idea how well they're doing or not. So, and they could also be hiding things for this too. So, I kind of like Ultra Future. Yeah, I like that Ultra Future. We'll talk more about my thoughts on Ultra when we get to Ultra there. But yeah, no, Ultra plus 800, that's a must bet. Yeah, no, Optic Texas 100%. That's the most square bet at plus 200 to win this thing. Like, they are begging you to bet all Optic here. And the thing is, this line has moved. At one point, Optic was actually a favorite in this tournament. This line has moved around a lot. I check it most days. Just a quick check. But no, the thing is, because Optic was the favorite, it tells you one thing. That means that they have taken a ton of Optic money to win this thing. So that means that they do not care. And further it proving that point is that Betway Esports, which again is another book that you can have. I use it sometimes for things. They have their super boosts, which basically give you boosted odds. Guess what they're boosting? Optic Texas to win outright to plus 300. So that's how you know. Do not bet that at all. Do not. Every time they give a super boost, it almost always fails. So do not bet the super boosts at all. Just fade them instantly. Another super boost they have for COD is Florida Mutineers and Seattle Surge both to win. They have that odds boosted to plus 250. So we've suggested fade both of those teams. So we already did the first one, and we're on the second one now too. So, but no, I'm on Ultra plus 800. I don't hate a FaZe plus 150. Early on, like the Boston was like plus 66, like 6600. It was a good bet then. It's down to 16 now, but still though, like even with Boston, especially because it's a one and done tournament, like when you have a team, like it would suck, like for betting Boston, right? Because they're going to play Subliners first, and they could have beaten Subliners, and there was a price point at which that was a good bet against them for them against Subliners. But what happens is when they play Rocker, like so they play Subliners, say they beat them, and then they beat Rocker because we're talking about Rocker in a second here, but then they're just going to run right into phase. And sure, you could have the most ever value on a 66-1 ticket to them to win the whole thing. But if they're going to run smack dab into phase and then also have to play the finals, like it's not value. So like I'm looking at Ultra, but I'm also looking at a potential hedging on phase. I think maybe hedging it off with a little bit of phase money isn't the worst strategy on that. I'm fairly sure, because like here's the thing. The optimal thing for me would be phase Ultra final. And then I just get to sit back. I get to sit back and watch a best of five, and no matter what happens, I'm making money off that. So that's kind of what I like. But again, at that point, you could bet either like if you like a certain money, if you like a game, if you like a certain like oh maybe Toronto hard point spread or something, you could bet that, right? So, but yeah, I think there's value in that. So we're gonna get to Optic and Toronto in a second. Let's talk about the next one, Minnesota. Minnesota is one of. Actually, I think there's only three teams that haven't made a single roster move all season. And on the offseason, that's one of them. Optic kind of had to make a roster move out of necessity, I'd guess. But yeah, they're one of only a couple teams to not make a roster move. So we've got Minnesota versus New York, the winner of New York versus Boston. We're thinking that's the Subliners. The thing is, we discussed this team at the end last year, and we discussed how Major Maniac was kind of a weight on this team, and like because again they always had a problem at the main AR position. It was in between accuracy, it was Major Maniac, then it was accuracy, then it was Major Maniac again, and then Major Maniac again to finish off. And we suggested in the offseason that they should upgrade AR, and they decided not to. I mean Attach is getting older, he's still a great player, but like at a certain point, like you probably needed to upgrade at AR. And the fact that like you've got Standy, great. You've got Standy. You've got Mac. You've got Attach. You got Priesta, right? So the Priesta's great too. But it's just that AR position. Like, and this is where I see. I think if this team falters, I think Major Maniac's gone. A challenger player comes in, and then I think this team can really do some damage. What do you think about Minnesota?
Yeah, they are. I don't know. To me, they're an interesting team because it seems like no one's talking about them. Or at least from what I've seen, people like to take the winner of New York-Boston and just kind of say they'll take the momentum in to beat Minnesota. I think it's clearly Minnesota's probably the weakest of all four teams getting a bye. That's pretty clear to me. But I don't think you can just say Boston, New York, whoever wins, that's going to roll into the next day, take care of Minnesota. Minnesota did not make any roster moves because they found the roster that worked for them. Standy comes in, Major Maniac subs in for accuracy, and they go on some nice runs to end the year. They obviously won Major 5 in a reverse sweep over Ultra. That was crazy. But they looked good before that even. That wasn't fluky. They were a very good team at the end of the year. And not everyone's paying attention to them because nothing really changed. Now, they did add to their coaching staff. They added Joey from Seattle. They added Looney from Seattle. And I think they added another just like analyst, like data analyst, along with Brian Saint, their head coach. So they've got a lot of guys in the building now. It's very Atlanta Phase-esque. I know Toronto has a lot of coaches, analysts in the building. It's a good thing. New York's another team that has a lot of that. It's good. Like, there is a point where there's too many cooks in the kitchen, but I think for Rocker, just adding more people helps. I think, so here's what I'll say. I have Subliners number 5 in my power rankings right now. Minnesota's 6. So I suppose I'd take Subliners over Rocker if that's the case. Boston, I have number 8. So if it's Rocker, Boston, I'd take Rocker. But again, Boston's a bit of a wild card team, so who knows what we're going to get. I kind of think that Minnesota, obviously I don't know what the line on that hypothetical game versus New York or Boston would be, but there's a good chance they'll be underdogs because you look at the futures market, and one that, I really like, I don't like it as much as Toronto, but right now I see Minnesota plus 2,800, sometimes plus 2,500, depending on where you are, somewhere in that range to win the whole event. And this is a team that has to win three matches. Granted, they probably have to win their second match against FaZe, but if FaZe comes out and they're not the FaZe of last year, or they get upset, or whatever happens, like, Minnesota to win three matches in a row at 28-1 odds, there's a little value in that. Now, I don't think it's a ton. I have Minnesota winning the event just over 3% of the time, so it really isn't a whole lot of value, but if you want to have a little fun with a bigger ticket, that could be one. But yeah, I think Minnesota, they were a middle-of-the-pack team last year. Towards the end, they picked it up a little bit. And I think they'll be somewhere in that 4, 5, 6 range this year again. So, yeah, I'm excited to see Minnesota. I think they're getting, I don't want to say overlooked, but just underappreciated, not talked about enough as we get into this year, because Standy was good. I know people have concerns with Major Maniac, especially in a faster-paced game. But what I'll say, I see a lot of Toronto in Minnesota. I know I just compared their future values, but I think they're trying to build a team similar, or I don't know, maybe kind of backwards. Toronto, very good AR duo, Cammy, Insight, like maybe the best AR duo last year, and solid SMGs with Bance and Kleenex. Bance, his numbers were down, you know, relative to the rest of the team because he was the in-game leader. I think that role on Minnesota is largely on Major Maniac. So while he's not the best gun skill-wise or movement-wise, like, he makes good shot calls in S&D especially. They were a very good control team last year. Standy has come onto the league and been super impressive. Attach is a bit underrated. I think he's in, you know, that Draza realm of just SMGs that get overlooked that are solid that you need. And then Priesta, again, he nothing special. Like, he's not Stellium, he's not Dashy, but he's just a flex you can rely on. So I like Minnesota quite a bit. They're my new team to root for. I was a Dallas fan, but that's dissolved, and I don't really want to hop on the Optic Texas bandwagon. So Minnesota's my team this year. Go Minnesota. And yeah, I don't know what the line will be again on that Minnesota-New York or Minnesota-Boston game, but if Minnesota's an underdog, I might buy them then at that point.
I think, let me just take a look here. I think the line, yeah, no, they would be an underdog then, yeah. So basically, the lines are implying that whoever wins this game will open as a favorite against Rocker. Pretty heavy favorite, too.
Yeah, here's the thing. The future market, just, it's hard to beat, but there's easy bets to just avoid. Boston is 16-1 to win the tournament. Again, they have to win four matches in a row, including one in which they're an underdog in the first match. And New York is similarly, I see, 14-1. And Rocker is 25-28-1. Like, we don't know a lot about any of these teams to imply that, you know, Rocker's number is like doubled what Boston and New York's number is just,
yeah,
backwards to me. Like,
because this is implying that, like, assuming that Subliners are slightly more favored over Boston, that's the plus 200. But then Rocker, after the first game, Rocker's odds wouldn't change, but the implied would be that Subliners would change. Subliners would be down to, like, assuming Subliners beat Boston, their line would be down to, like, plus 1,000 or so. And then you've got Rocker at plus 2,500, so that would imply that they just get destroyed. So there is some value in that. The problem, though, is that, again, it's hard to capture that value, right? Because, like, say you have, like, say you have the Rocker future and they beat the Subliners, then they run smack dab in a phase. How are you supposed to hedge out a plus 2,800, right? That's the problem, right? Because, like, yeah, what are you going to do? Be like, cool, I'm going to throw $100 on phase money line, right? Like, okay. And, like, you, like, at, like, what, minus 500, you're like, I'm going to put, like, $500. Like, what are you going to do, right? Like, that's ridiculous to hedge out, right? So, like, It's hard to say that exactly. I'm kind of on board with it. That's not bad. I'm not sure if I want to touch that though or not. I'll think about that, but that's a really good point. I hadn't noticed that. But yeah, I mean, I think they could be good. I think there are limitations to this team though. Again, if Major Maniac wasn't the main AR, I think if that was Octane, this team would be amazing, right? And that's the thing. And I think that it's kind of unfortunate that they didn't look that way to upgrade, but again, that's what Challengers is for. So we might see that mid-season. So we'll go to the next game here. Actually, we messed over a game anyways, but we got Toronto versus Florida and LAG. Now, Toronto has actually kind of started slow the last 2 years. First year was because they decided to pick up 10 players for some reason and mess around with who was starting and who wasn't. Last year, it was because Methods was on the team, and then I think they kind of wanted to get rid of Methods, and then that didn't work out well for the first major, so then they subbed in Insight, and then they had a couple of games of adjustment, and then they just kind of were amazing. This year, they're now basically like, this is the team, we're going with the team. Interesting change, though, that I think has really fallen under the radar is the addition of Hixie as a sub. Now, as a substitute player. Now, the thing is, he is an SMG, which sounds like doesn't matter, right? Because it's like, oh, he's just a sub, right? This is the team. But the problem was, when Toronto struggled last year, it was generally one of two players that was the problem. It was either Kleenex or Bantz. Now, both of them had good games at times, but also both of them had really poor games. For example, in the finals, Kleenex really struggled. Bantz was amazing in the finals, Champs finals last year. Kleenex struggled. Mm-hmm. And it's funny that, like, last year they get an AR for the substitute role, then Method struggles. Method's, like, not... They immediately sub in the AR for the AR. They have a sub now. It's maybe a little bit of a conspiracy theory here, but Hixie might be the replacement for someone if this team underperforms a little bit midseason. I would not be surprised if he replaces either Kleenex or Bantz if one of them struggles in this game. Again, everybody's fine, great, right? No one's being changed. But if we're at the end of Major 1 and, like, Kleenex is really struggling or Bantz is really struggling, I think that might be what Hixie is for. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I guess it comes down to personal preference on who Ultra, in terms of their SMGs, who they deem more important, right? Because Kleenex's numbers, let me try to find Toronto's numbers from last year. I want to say Kleenex had slightly better numbers. Yeah, so adjusted KD, Bantz was at a 0.96, which was 34th in the league, 14th among SMGs. Not bad. Kleenex had a 0.99. 29th in the league, 13th among SMGs. So just one spot above Bantz. They work in tandem really well together. They're good at kind of opposite modes. Bantz, a 101 KD in hardpoint, Kleenex a 0.96, which that might surprise some people. I think people assume Kleenex is the better respawn player. It's actually quite a bit different than Search. Bantz a 0.9, Kleenex a 1.04, and then controls about even, 0.99 for Bantz, 0.97 for Kleenex. So overall, pretty close. But yeah, I think it depends on which mode they're weak in, if they do find a weakness. Last year, if there was a mode they were weak in, it was hardpoint. My power rankings had them fourth in the league in hardpoint, first in search and destroy, and second in control. So if you think you might need a little bit of a pick-me-up in hardpoint, I think Kleenex getting subbed out is a realistic possibility if they think Hixie can be an elite slaying sub, because I really do think the Ultra are like one piece away from really matching FaZe head to head. Like, if you ask me, would I rather have Stellium and Arcides or Cammy and Insight as my backline players? I'm gonna take the Toronto guys. Like, they just are phenomenal, and Cammy can do it with both guns too. Like, we've seen it for years now where he can go SMG or AR. But yeah, the fact that Hixie's on the team, he's a very good AM. He could definitely sub in for one of those SMGs if needed. The thing is, I think it would be Kleenex. I just think Bantz provides too much value as an in-game leader, as a vet. He's obviously, like, capable in hardpoint and in control. In search, I want to say he was the bomb carrier most of the time in search, so that could very well be a reason why his KD was so low. But yeah, I just, we'll wait and see. I'm sure they stick with their lineup for at least, you know, the first stage or two assuming they'll be like a top three, top four team. But if they slide to the middle of the pack a little bit, it would not shock me in the slightest if Hixey comes in and replaces Bantz or Kleenex.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think we'd all take, yeah, like when you put it that way of like, would you rather have Insight or Arcides? Yeah, I take Insight, right? And would you rather have, I guess, Cammy or who's their flex? Abizi? Celium? Yeah, like that's kind of very...
I'd maybe rather have Celium. I think that's close. I do think Insight is, like, seriously, from what we saw last year, he's maybe the best AR in the league. Like,
yeah.
Search and Destroy KD, he had a 1.24. Like, that's just ridiculous. In a professional league... where, like, if you have a 1.1, that's impressive. A 1.24, that ranked first in the league and obviously first among ARs.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? And that also just highlights straight up that methods wasn't necessarily a problem. It's just that they saw the opportunity to upgrade that position, and they took it, right? That's the thing. Now, again, you could also be looking at the possibility that, like, okay, this isn't Cold War, right? This is Modern Warfare, and we don't have, at least I don't think we have, stats for Insight on SND in Modern Warfare, right? So could he regress a bit? Yeah. Is that his fault? No, it might actually just be straight up the difference between the game engines a little bit. But no, I mean, yeah, like he Insight is really, really good, and Cammy is also really, really good too. I mean, if you're down to it, it's like, okay, you have FaZe and Abizi versus Cammy and Bantz. And if you can upgrade one of those, like if you basically say, okay, it's Simp and Abizi versus like those two, and if one of those is really underperforming, if you can sub in another player that's at that level, if you can basically find a new Simp or a new Abizi and sub that in, then suddenly that gap becomes a lot more narrow, and then we really become a two-team league at that point. Like, then it's really a two-team league. But yeah, that's the really interesting thing, because the thing is, no one has really been, like, sometimes people can upset FaZe, and it happens. Like, we saw FaZe didn't win every match last week, last year. They won most of them, but they didn't win every single match. On the off day, you could upset them. But, like, now we're at the point where it's, like, if you can really... If Cammy and Bantz hit at all, like, all cylinders, or you replace the one that's kind of lower, yeah, then you could be really looking at those games as toss-ups. Up next... the last game we'll talk about here in terms of futures market, again, we hit a little bit on Optic before. Optic, of course, being Scump. So Optic went through a lot of changes in the offseason. Formal retired. Envoy left. So basically it's Scump and Dashy and Illy and Shotzi, and then kind of combined coaching staffs from both of them, with Sender, Rambo Ray, and General is or something. I don't know who that is, but whatever. I mean, here's the thing. Shotzi was really good last year, throughout the entire year. Illy was bad for a large part of the year. Came back again a little bit toward the end, but still, though, kind of a down year for him. Scump was okay during Modern Warfare. Dashy barely got any playtime at all. This team is way overhyped. I don't know, like, it's an Optic team, right? So you're always going to be paying that Optic price. But, like, this team just seems really, really hype, and I'm a little, like, I don't think this team is bad, but, like, I don't think this team is the best team. I think, but you're seeing a lot more button-up from Scump and them. Like, before, they'd be like, yeah, we'll stream scrims, but now they're kind of like, okay, no, we're not doing that anymore. I think they're still concerned with, like, content creation and stuff, but I don't think they're, like... I think before they were a lot bigger for, I think before they were kind of a lot more like, yeah, okay, we'll play. But I think that this year, for some reason at least, they feel a little bit more pressure to compete, I guess. But I really do question it, right? Like, Optic was kind of like, the Dallas team was kind of held together by Krim. And, like, Krim was a big piece of that team, right? He was the seasoned veteran. He had played a lot longer than Shotzi and Illy. I mean, Shotzi was a transplant from Halo, and he's actually looking at going back to Halo 2, right? Which tells you all you need to know about how he feels about Vanguard. Illy, again, had problems last year, right? Like, Scump and Dashy, like, this is the thing. I don't know what to make of this team. They're not a bad team, But I don't think they're the best team. I'm looking at your comments here. You had a lot of people kind of mad that you had Optic so low, and also mad that you had Optic so low in S&D. But like, that seems kind of right to me. Like, Optic was never great in S&D last year. Again, the fabled 1v3, and neither was Dallas. Dallas was never really great at S&D either. Like, no, I agree with Optic being lower. And like, if Thieves beat Paris, which again is probably very likely, yeah, we're on upset alert here for that. What do you think?
Yeah, and I don't know. It's kind of funny that that Chicago Optic fans. I gotta stop saying Chicago. Like, that stops right now, Robert. I'm gonna stop right now. They're Texas. They're Optic Texas. It's people calling Las Vegas Oakland. You know,
I did the same thing last year with the Buccaneers. I kept calling them the Patriots. I'm like, the Patriots will win this week against the Panthers. And like, then like, no, they're not playing. That's the Buccaneers playing the Panthers. Not that. Go ahead. Yeah.
So last year, power rankings wise, Optic was the 9th best team in Search and Destroy, according to my numbers. Now, what's interesting is Search and Destroy KD wise, they had a 1.03 as a team. That ranked 3rd. Wins and losses, they were 23 and 27, which ranked 8th in terms of win percentage. Adjusted to their schedule, that knocked them down again. They had a relatively weak Search and Destroy schedule throughout the year. So overall, 9th best search team. And it's just funny, I have them ranked as the 5th best search team. So middle of the pack, little better than average. And people are like, what? That's so low. I improved them 4 spots. That has to be higher than any other team in the league in terms of game mode improvement. Like, that's a big jump. And I still have them 3rd in hardpoint. Last year, they were 2nd. So just a slight decrease. And they were 3rd in control. I have them 3rd in control. So a very good team. And people are still upset. Like, they just... Everyone wants to believe that this team is almost, if not as good as FaZe, and they can compete with Toronto, and we will see. Maybe that is the case. One thing I will say about their search, I think it's the most intriguing game mode to talk about with them just because they underwhelmed so much last year. And obviously, like, the accuracy 1v3 comes to mind. Formal, obviously retired, a very good player. Search and Destroy last year was not it for him. If that game was just thrown out and we were only playing hardpoint and control, Formal would be one of the best ARs in the league. For some reason, it did not click in Search and Destroy. But the thing is, okay, you take out Formal's AR in Search, that didn't help a ton, and you bring in Illy's. Well, Illy also had a really bad Search and Destroy year, which is surprising because I think a lot of people think of him as a Search and Destroy, like that's his mode. Not the case at all. Illy, just, Robert, take a guess what Illy's KD on the whole was for Search and Destroy last year. Take a guess.
0.8.
Okay, that's very low. See, you did the thing where now I'm going to tell you the number and it's not as impressive. It was a 0.84.
Oh, okay.
But you know, obviously a lot of numbers are between 0.9 and 1.1.
That's still really low, though.
It's so low. It was worst among flexes, 44th out of 48 in terms of the players that ended the year. It was not good. So I'm not sure if they got an upgrade there. What I will say is Illy and Shotzi, for that matter. Shotzi still had a good year last year, but obviously won the MVP the year before. They were better on Modern Warfare than they were on Cold War. Dashy and Skump, I think it might be the opposite. I think they looked very good in Cold War. And obviously Dashy got benched in Modern Warfare. Skump didn't get benched, but he didn't have a crazy good year like he did last year. Like, Skump's year, I think... obviously he's, you know, one of the best players of all time, but it surprises me how good his numbers were from last year. He had a 1.06 adjusted KD, which ranked 6th among SMGs, 13th overall in the league. So, a very good year for him. It's tricky to say how good they'll be. I think they'll be an improved team, slightly. Now, last year they were like the 4th best team, kind of like the whole year, hovering between 3rd and 5th, I would say, pretty consistently. They never made a grand finals in a major. They were always just kind of in the semi, like losers finals or losers semifinals. They always found themselves in and couldn't quite overcome Toronto or FaZe or Subliners or any of those teams, really. This year, they look better in scrims, at least from what I can see. On paper, they've improved slightly, I think. But yeah, again, the prices you got to pay, especially for the future, the futures market on this Kickoff Classic, plus 200, that you can't convince me that they are that close to FaZe quite yet. Do I want them to be? Sure. Like, I want more teams to take, like, watching a league where it's FaZe versus everybody else isn't super fun. So I want teams to be close in terms of skill, but I gotta, you know, I'll see it. I'll believe it when I see it. Like, it's just, it's not quite there yet for me. Obviously this is a big event for them. It's in Dallas. Optic now owns, the Arlington Esports Stadium or arena or whatever it's called. So yeah, it's a big deal. They'll host the first major in early March. Optic tends to start out hot and kind of fade as the year goes on. So we'll see if they're ready for it. I do worry, though. Again, I'm high on Thieves. If Thieves can take care of Paris in round one, like, I don't know. We might have a lot of upset fans come Saturday night when Optic faces Thieves. So that's my thoughts. They're a good team. Like, no doubt. I have them third in power rankings. They're a good team. I can't buy that they're almost as good as FaZe and already better than Toronto. I just can't.
I will say that, yeah, I agree with that. I think a lot of people are pricing in the, like, oh, it's Optic home stadium. It's home field for them. Well, they had that before, right? Like, yeah. you cannot convince me that last year when they were Optic and they were not in Chicago, they were based in Texas. You cannot tell me that they were not the home team for those LAN events. They were very clearly the home team, and that did not matter at all. They were very easily upset in a lot of those games, right? So no, like, that's not true at all, right? So no, I think there is some home field advantage being priced in. Also, just as a fun fact here, you just got commented on by London Royal Ravens. They commented on your rankings post. So that's kind of cool. They're saying feeling hurt right now on your when you rank them 11th, but clearly they aren't.
To be fair, my personal power rankings have them 8th or 9th, I believe. It's only because the coaches poll has London so low that they got dragged down to 11th. So I might have to comment back on that. But
classic, classic BCS for you right there. That's how the BCS works. But no, I mean, clearly they don't know that we picked them against Seattle in this podcast yet. So we'll release this and then they'll be much more happy. But no, I mean, I think that this Optic team might not be all it's cracked up to be. I think there is some issues with this Optic team. They're always so hype, right? Like, that's the thing. It's so hard to set, like, there is so much money on Optic. It's really hard to separate what of that is sharp money and what of that is not actual. Like, how many of those people just being like, ah, yeah, Optic, right? And then how many of the people are like, nah, like, right? Like, that's the thing. So, no, I'm taking Optic. Like, I'm gonna fade this Optic team. I think they're way overhype. They're kind of like the Dallas Cowboys now. They're fully now the Dallas Cowboys now. Their logo even looks Dallas Cowboy-y now. Maybe they're going to be the real Dallas Cowboys now. But no, like, it's, yeah, we're kind of fading them. But yeah, no, I agree with that. I think it's funny. We also just realized we didn't even comment on the chances of Florida or LAG upsetting Ultra. So we just didn't even talk about it. We just ignored that. So yeah, I think we'll just kind of say we don't think, or even mostly Seattle versus Ravens about FaZe. So we'll see. But yeah, no, I think we've done a pretty good job of recapping the league. And we talked a lot about all the roster updates, but I think it's at a certain point, right? We need data, right? We need real life data. We need to see how these teams match up against each other, who's doing well, who's struggling, etc. And we are days away from getting that data. And it's going to be really exciting. And This is the best start to a CDL season ever, easily, by like a mile. Again, it'd be great if this was double LM.
Of all the downfall for this year, like Vanguard is a game, all the CDL stuff, like having a kickoff tournament, that's a good thing. Yeah. I'm happy about this. Yes. Keep doing this, CDL. You're doing good.
Well, for however long you exist. But yeah, you did good. You did good. But yeah, no, like, this is the one good thing that they've done this year. And kind of the midseason stuff is good too. Sad they got rid of a major, but outside of that, this is the one of the good better things they've done. But yeah, no, I'm really excited for this tournament. I'm afraid that we're gonna watch this and we're gonna be like, God, this game sucks. And like, that might be the case. But yeah, no, we'll see. But yeah, we'll be back a couple weeks from now when we're starting to look at Major 1 and the three play-in events for that. But yeah, thank you for joining me today. Any other kind of bets? We talked a lot about the future market. Any other futures you're looking at for this?
Yeah, one other real long shot if you're interested, or a couple. One that I like a decent bit, Florida, if you think they have a chance to upset LAG. Right, so that match right now is like dead even, -120 on each side. LAG to win the tournament is 16-1. Florida is 50-1, so there's just a big misprice there. Obviously, Florida has to go through Toronto, but they're on the opposite side of the bracket as FaZe, which is really a big thing to consider when looking at futures. You want to avoid them for as long as you can. Yeah.
And then you can hedge out, right? That's the thing.
Yeah, so Florida, I think at 50-1, that's if you want to have a little fun, throw a dollar on there and you win $50 or something. And then the other long shots, London, again, I like them versus Seattle. They're 66-1. Problem is they run into FaZe and then they have to win two more matches after that. So that's tough. And Paris Legion, I don't know what the number would have to be. Right now I see 100-1. To me, that's not enough. Like 200-1 maybe, but I don't know. It's just kind of funny that like they have to put out a number for Paris, you know, because they're a team that exists. But like, boy, yeah, that's tough stuff for Paris.
What will be the line of against Paris versus the Challengers team in the Pro-Am tournament?
Oh my god, dude! Like, I don't.
Will the Challengers team be they might be favorites. By that time, if Paris doesn't make any changes,
Paris might make a roster move, and they're like a new Challengers team. You know, say there's like five good, like really good Challengers teams towards that midseason tournament. Paris might just go, okay, scrap the whole team. We're just gonna pick up one of these Challengers teams so that we're not embarrassed. Like, you imagine if they hold their roster together until that happens? I don't think they will do that, but say that happens. And then a Challengers team just comes in and just 3-0s them. It's not like that would be crazy. So I think they'd be favored just because you have to favor them. But man, I don't know.
what about Thieves 12-1? On the same they're on the opposite side of the bracket. They'd have to get around Toronto.
That's not a number I hate. Again, I'm high on Thieves. 12-1. Is like almost where I want it to be. Again, it's more of like if Optic's number's way inflated, there has to be some sort of value on the other side or on that same side of the bracket. Again, I think most of that value is with Toronto, but I think Thieves, like if you like them, 12-1's not a horrible number. But if you could catch like a 15 or 16-1, that might be all right.
Well, that's the thing, right? Because if you get them, If you have them at 12-1, and then you're on that side of the bracket, right? If it's Thieves versus Toronto, that means you're either riding an 8-1 or 12-1 into the finals, right? So then at that point, then you're like you've locked that value in, right? And then you just take a chance on a dog or a money line somewhere, and then like a game, like you can maybe make a couple bets there, but then you're just sitting on a dog going in, and it's just a big dog too. So yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking about this now because the thing is, I think my arguments about Thieves are basically like my head says this is a good team, but my heart says this is gonna explode. This is gonna like implode. And I don't even know why. Yeah,
I completely get it. I said it earlier. This is the roster shuffle that I think will stick with them for at least most of the year, right? Obviously, a lot of teams go through roster moves throughout the year. Thieves will likely make a roster move at some point, but they've got a good core. And I'm excited for them. I think they will, I don't know, surprise people at this point. People are really down on them. That, like, is top six even impressive? Maybe top four would be really impressive. But, I'm excited for that team quite a bit.
I'm just realizing this now. is Thieves the team that people think Optic is?
Yeah, maybe. Like, I see similarities with both. Like, Thieves kept two players, Optic kept two players, and then both teams on paper, it looks like, have improved the other positions that filled in.
Like, well, actually, I'd say Thieves improved more than Optic.
Yeah, did. On Boy slots in for John, that's a huge improvement. And not Slasher, Octane comes in for Slasher, I think that's a slight improvement. And yeah, on the Optic side, I think you keep Skump and Dashy. You slot out Envoy, put in Shotzi. That's a slight improvement. You slot out Formal, put in Illy. That is debatable, actually, but that might be more of a wash than an improvement. But yeah, like, I think they're pretty close teams, but yeah, we'll see. I'll be licking my chops if Thieves come out and beat Optic in round two. It'll just be, I don't know, it'll just be funny.
Well, that's all. I will say, yeah, I think, here's the thing, if Thieves beat Paris, I'm 100% on them for beating Optic. I will say this, though, first Sunday night game of the NFL year, first Sunday night primetime game at 8:30 was Rams versus Bears. Rams destroyed the Bears, covered the spread. First game at 8:30 is Thieves versus Paris. Will Thieves cover the spread and destroy Paris? Maybe I'm on that now. Let's see. I think you've convinced me. I think I'm going to be on Thieves a little bit. Maybe not against Ultra, because Ultra just has their number for some insane reason. But yeah, no, yeah. I'm on. Let's do some Thieves stuff. Let's do a bit some Thieves spreads. So, all right. Well, thank you for coming on, and we'll obviously have you on when we start doing other. When we do week one and stuff like that. But yeah, thank you for coming on, and it's been fun, and I'm excited for the season.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, thank you for having me. We'll have a lot more throughout the year. And yeah, I'm excited. COD is finally back after 5 months of absolutely nothing.
Yep. All right. Thank you.